But my intent is to make you examine things, to think about things, and to get a little more depth than what I can give you in the few minutes that I do this. And this may be that kind of turbocharge tonight, because I have very few answers, and I'm going to pose you with a whole lot of questions. So when we get done, it will be you. I like to title these things when I start, kind of work on that, and I put the title of "Does It Matter" to this. And let's start by looking at Romans 14th chapter, verse 1. Let me read this from NIV first. "Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on his futile matter." And the ESV, "As for one whose faith is weak, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions." One thing we can know for sure about this scripture, disputable matters exist. But on the other side of that coin, some matters are undisputable. Now, I've used this story before, and God's used the same story in the devotional he gave, but I think if you'll understand the story, I think it drives a real peg in the ground. Jessica's helping me feed there once, and she made the comment, which Lana had made the same comment years past. Every gate latch out here is different. Okay, the truth of the matter is, when I get to the latch part, I usually just get something out of the junk bucket and the welding trailer and fabricate it, but that's not very sophisticated to be sounding. So I said, this is a 10-year study to see which latch is the best. Well, Jessica says, "Do you have documentation?" I had to admit, no, I don't. She said, "Without documentation, it is merely an opinion." Let's take that, flip it over into our study of the scripture. Is it documented, or is it an opinion? Hebrews 8 and 5 is a repeat from something that Moses was told when he was building the tabernacle, and it talks about build it as to the pattern you were given. He was given a pattern for the tabernacle. We've given a pattern. But there are some things that we don't really have the blueprint for. Now let me give you an example of an undisputable matter. And this is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And let me read from Mark 12, 28-31. "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is most important?'" Now, Jesus, at this point, quotes from Deuteronomy 6. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." That's solid. There is no around it, no argument. That is solid. But there are things that may be disputable in your mind that are not disputable in my mind. And like I said, I'm not giving you any answers, but I want you to consider, and I've got a list of things here that I'm gonna pitch out to you to consider. Again, I may give you some opinions. I hope you respect my opinion. I hope I will respect your opinion. I have observed, however, over the years, that people that ask for the most slack are willing to give the least. And that one was free, didn't cost you anything. What about special days? Colossians 2:16, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat, drink, or in regard to a religious festival, new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. Now I think Paul was probably referring to the Jewish law stuff, or maybe even some pagan things. But the principle applies, I think. We just, you know, in the past month or so, celebrated a holiday where we give a fictional character the same properties of God and just do it. Here again, we're gonna have another holiday that's quote from big quotation marks, the Christian world's most important day of the year. Now how do we consider these things? Romans 14:5 says, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alive. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And then in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and the joy of the Holy Spirit. So as to these special days, how you want to observe them or how you want to handle that, I've got some really strong opinions, but again, they are opinions. Now let me go to the next thing on my list here. And this is something that, okay, the first part of this we're all gonna agree on. I don't think anybody in the crowd's gonna, I know you're wrong. Sorcery. Deuteronomy 18:10, it's called abominable, and it includes these practices of divination, fortune tellers, those who interpret omens, charmers, mediums. In Exodus 22:18, it says, do not allow sorcerers, parentheses, witch, to live. And we have to be careful about some Old Testament applications there. But go to the New Testament, Galatians 5:19, following the acts of nature. Among these is listed witchcraft. Revelation talks about those will be some of the people that are condemned. This magic arts along with murder and other sins. Okay, like I said, we're on the same page here. But how are we handling Disney characters? Harry Potter? Let me gouge a little deeper into this. Have you ever thought about most of Mother Goose's Celtic pagan based stories? And we accept it, or how do we handle that? In Scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, I will receive you. How far are we coming out from the world? again. Those are yours. Next, I've got several of these. None of them connect. And I apologize for there not being kind of a stream going through this, but just plunge with me if you would. Words. Tim did a study some time back and talked about words and the importance of using words. And one of the, well, I think an example of a word that's been hijacked is awesome. Genesis 20, 16 and 17, Jacob's vision of the ladder up to heaven. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. There is no other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. In Psalm 68:35, a praise of David, you're awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives you power and strength. Praise be to God. How can you, the word awesome related to God, how well does that relate to a hot dog? But you will hear that word applied in that sense. And let me, here's some other words that, not so much like that, but words that, let's say that maybe the world or the denomination of the world have used these words, and they mean something totally different to us. And I'm thinking about leadership of the church. In Acts 20, when Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, and he sent Miletus for the Ephesian elders to come and meet with him. And in 20 and 28, it says, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, or bishop is another word for that. Be shepherds, another pastor is another word of that. The church of God, which is bought with his own blood. These three words designate the same people, elder, overseer, bishop, shepherd, pastor. Now back to being us set apart. What these words mean to society has turned into something different. How many of y'all have been in a conversation with somebody and say, oh, I really like y'all's new pastor, God. Rick was really a good pastor. Okay, do you just, yeah. Or do you take that opportunity to maybe, well, without getting into a real discussion in a church organization, we don't call them that. Just as putting a peg in the ground, or do we just accept it and go forward? Again, I'm not giving you an answer. Let me go somewhere else here. Creation. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens and earth. Okay, that's the undisputable side of this coin. What's disputable, I suppose, is how seriously do we depend creation when we're confronted. The schools, you go to a state park or a national park, they're going to tell you the million years ago this popped up. What is the degree of defense against the disciples of Darwin on our part? I The degree of defense, I think, is an opinion. It's up to you. I personally told my kids and my grandkids when they were about 10 or 11, said, you're going to have to deal with this in school, and you be respectful. But if you're really confronted with it and a teacher pushes you, I said, you tell them respectfully, sir or ma'am, if you really believe this Darwinistic stuff, you must have human or brains. That's how I handled it. I don't know how you want to handle it or how you will handle it, but it's that one. Okay, I'm not done yet. Got more. Sunday. We kind of lost Sunday to the world. Now, I'm not going to go to the discussion about, well, a little bit about the Sabbath thing. It's totally different, but what is the first day of the week for? What is the primary there? And I think that's undisputable, that it's the Lord's Supper and the coming to worship God. But okay, we gotta live in the world. Now, we in my world have been plagued with, you can't, a cow has to be milked on Sunday, just like she does the rest of the week. Steers have to be fed. And there were even provisions in the old law for things like that. Now, I know nothing about railroads, but I know they say they can't shut down, and I guess they can. Refineries seem to be the same way. But how, we got to do what we got to do. But what about the things that are totally wholesome, family kind of things that have encroached into Sunday? Soccer, all kinds of sports, Little Britain's Rodeo, 4-H. I'm not giving you any answers, I'm just giving, how do you handle that? May I be allowed to give you one opinion? I'm really not a fan of eating out, period. So if I was a judge, I would have to remove myself due to prejudice. But we eat out on Sunday, and what does that do to the people in the food service industry? Where does that put them? We buy groceries on Sunday. Where does that put the people at work in those facilities? If they had no business, they would not be open. So, like I said, no answers to these questions. I'm getting closer to the end of this thing here. Don't jump the gun, Dave. I'm not giving it to you yet. But we're gonna do something here in just a moment. We're gonna offer an invitation. Now, nowhere in the scripture except vague reference to when they stopped Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, do we have any kind of example that might even be remotely related to that. Yet we do it every time we come together. I don't, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a wrong thing. But we are the people who have said, let the Bible speak. Let us speak, for the Bible speaks. Let us be silent, for it's silent. Y'all correct me later, but I hadn't found anything in there that authorizes that. Now, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's something that we stole well out of. We stole. I'd say borrowed from the denominations that they used to refer to as altar call. I don't know what they refer to it as. But that's where it came from. And again, I'm not being negative toward that. I'm just giving you some more questions. Now, okay, we're here tonight. Second worship of the day. Where in the scripture does it tell us we need to come back a second time and worship again? It doesn't. Now again, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it can be a really positive thing, especially, you know, when I had to worship. Put that in parentheses, worship with the church at Boardman. There were a lot of people who worked in the refinery there and shift work. And my work at that time required me to work a lot of Sunday mornings. So sometimes there were like 30, 40 of us taking communion at the evening service. So it had real value to us. And, I'm not saying it's a negative thing, unless you take that as a point of faith. And the same thing with midweek service is something we borrowed from the denominations that they call prayer meeting. And again, I'm not being negative about it, I'm just saying, what is our... Okay, is it opinion or is it documented? And I think we need to examine everything we do as to, is it opinion or is it documentation? Is it documented? And there it is. I'm done.